Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Hope you had a safe Independence Day if you're in the United States. Real fast, if you're looking for some independent wrestling, there are a couple of shows happening today. AWR in Indianapolis, Indiana, having a great big show today. And in Sherman, Texas, the Global Wrestling Federation reunion show is happening. So you're in those areas and you want to see some live wrestling, you have some options today. So make sure you stay safe. Go watch some wrestling and support it if you feel like it's a good option for you. But today we are hugely excited because it is Turnbuckle Turmoil's Wrestler Salute to Baseball today. And we have some great guests with us that have lineage to not only professional wrestling, but to baseball. We have with us today Chuck Coates, Jimmy Flame, Lee Kalima, and Coach Mike Jones. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
And
thank you.
I'm going to ask a question here. I will try to get all of your answers to this first one here, and I'll try to go through who is in the business first as we move along here. But I'm going to ask if you can tell us your background in baseball and your background in wrestling to kind of introduce yourself. And I believe, Chuck Coates, it would go to you first.
Okay. I'm down here in North Carolina. You may be able to tell by the draw. And I started wrestling in 1986. Pro wrestling career began. I went to NC State University, and we had a league that was more kind of like intramural, but we turned it into about 8 or 10 of us into a little pro wrestling thing, and the money we raised was we were told we could use to benefit our dorm improvement. So any money we raised, they would take it and improvements for our dormitory on campus. Well, one thing led to another, and started getting phone calls from independent bookers, and so next thing you know, we're off, and I got a chance to meet Nelson Royal down in Mooresville, North Carolina, back in '88, and went through a session with him and Gene Anderson, and they helped me get better. And next thing you know, I started getting calls from the WWF television. Nelson was my primary guy, and he sent us up north, and we started wrestling there. Wrestling, TV wrestling, job guy, whatever you want to call it. So we did that for 2 to 3 years, and I went to WCW in 91, 92, and wrestled there for 2 years. And then from 92 to 2006, I was on the independent circuit. I did a few TVs for WWF during the Austin Rock deal. Kurt Angle, had a dark match with him when he was just starting to get ready for television. And we went out there and worked 12 minutes. And, you know, wrestling 12 minutes with an Olympic gold medalist is really interesting because he was trying to learn the transition from being an Olympic gold medalist to professional wrestling, which is totally different. And he was still, hard guy to work with at the time. Because all he knew was, you know, wide open, one speed all the way. And so we had a real good match, and we did that. And in the meantime, you know, my independent character, I did the Mad Max character with face paint, much like Sting, and Bobby Fulton of the Fantastics created that for me back in 1988. And about a 20-year run in wrestling. Now, as far as baseball, I played from age 5 all the way up through high school. I was recruited by 3 different schools out of high school. A Methodist College here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Limestone College in Gaffney, South Carolina, a 2-year school, and then Duke University recruited me and to play baseball. But I wasn't quite academically ready for that, although the talent was there and the coach wanted me to come. I just couldn't, you know, at the time, couldn't get the SAT high enough to get there. So anyway, my first love was baseball. Wrestling was my second love. So I went back to the wrestling scene, and we were doing that. And then when, if you remember the movie Bull Durham, was filmed in 1987 in my hometown of Durham, and they actually had tryouts for that, and I made it on the team there. So I was an extra in Bull Durham during the movie, and then it debuted in 1988. And, you know, the Durham Bulls, you know, the Bull City, and that's where I grew up around, and I've been around it all my life. And, you know, till this day, the Durham Bulls are still a big deal here in the area. And at the time when I was coming up, they were affiliate of Atlanta Braves and then single A, and now they're triple A and affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays in Florida. So it's been a fun time. You know, I, like I said, my first love was baseball, and wrestling was something I loved watching growing up with my dad. And that pretty much sums up my career in a nutshell, a 20-year wrestling career in baseball up through high school. And here we are, 53 years old and enjoying today and glad I'm able to be a part of this.
Absolutely. Coach Mike Jones, I believe you're next. Can you give us a background on your baseball and how you got into the wrestling?
That's right, Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, coming at you from coast to coast here in this beautiful Pierce County, Washington. And, yes, you know, I've been watching wrestling most of my life. Back in 94, I went to one of DeVosh's shows and got to answer the call for a Playboy Buddy Rose fan challenge, which, surprisingly, it was against Big Red Wrecking Crew. Thank God I didn't have to face him, but I was able to train with him and DeBashi, and later on I was able to train with Matt Farmer and Nikki Six of the Suicide Kings.
Thank you.
I just love professional wrestling, and if you want to know more about my wrestling, you can check out my Hannibal TV interview that I just took about a month ago. Also, I got my bio on Facebook, and I've been watching baseball most of my life also. Back in about 1973 was my first favorite team was the championship Oakland A's before the Mariners were around. And then I used to go to the Tacoma Twins back when they were legendary. They had a coach called Cal Ermer. That guy was so fiery, the fans would go see him get kicked out of the game basically every game. It was just very entertaining. And that guy, he put a fire under you, you know. And then they had Tom Kelly, was a player coach. And then he ended up being a World Series championship coach at the – or manager at the Minnesota Twins. And Tacoma has a rich history of baseball in the Pacific Coast League where Juan Marichal played for them for the Tacoma Giants. Randy Savage had played games at Tacoma PCL. I watched the Bash Brothers, Jose Canseco, and Mark McGuire here in Tacoma for the Tacoma Tigers. And I've played baseball most of my life. Me and my brother, we grew up poor. And back in the summers, back when we were little kids, we'd play baseball from 9 in the morning till 9 at night, every night, all summer long. And you know, I've won many championships in baseball, and I'm really excited about the new Mariners coming up, even though they're still in a rebuild. I'm definitely not excited about Scott Service. I do not like him as a manager. He's ridiculous. He doesn't. Now I've been to the Sparky Anderson School of Baseball, brother, and I can tell you right now, Scott Service fails the Sparky Anderson School of Baseball. So I would hope that somehow he changes his style or we get rid of him, one or the other.
All right. Jimmy Flame, same question for you, my man.
Yes, sir. Where do I start? You know, I pretty much played baseball my entire life from the time I could walk to, you know, all through Little League, Babe Ruth, you know, high school, all that good stuff. You know, played ball up until I was an adult. And then, you know, at the same time, you know, I loved watching wrestling and all that stuff. And around the time I discovered that there was a thing, a place to go to actually, like, learn professional wrestling, this is about 1994 at the same time, I received invites from the Chicago Cubs, and the Cincinnati Reds, like to go work out and all that good stuff, and I went and did that stuff. But that was also, like I said, around the same time that I kind of discovered this avenue to go into wrestling. I love both of them, you know what I mean? And I just, you know, ended up going down the wrestling route. But I always kept my, you know, one leg in the baseball world, you know, playing in semi-pro leagues and all that stuff pretty much sporadically through my 20s. In my early 30s while I was out in Seattle, I went to another Cincinnati Reds workout when I was like 32 years old, I want to say, something like that. Anyhow, somebody in that world still, you know, knew I was still around. Went and did that, but then kept wrestling, et cetera. And then, you know, to this day, I still play ball. I actually just got finished with a game about 40 minutes ago, hit the showers, and then gave you guys a call.
We appreciate that, and I hear you had a very long single.
Yes, there's a little bit of a story behind it. There's one reason why I'm a little bit excited about that is because my buddy Lee Stowers, who works for the Los Angeles Angels, sent me a couple bats in the mail. He's like, hey, give these a try. They're these really nice, like, you know, major league quality maple bats. I'm like, all right. I was kind of scared to use them at first, so I'm like, I don't want to break these freaking things, but they're so nice. And he's like, dude, just swing the damn bat. And I'm like, all right, cool. So today I used one of the bats and hit an opposite field. You know, I caught a hanging curve. It was a 2-2 count. Classic breaking ball, you know, some sort of breaking pitch is going to come at you on a count like that. Caught it. I saw the ball rise. It wasn't dropping. Right when you see that thing rise, man, just load up and just go for it. And I did. Opposite field, flew over the outfielder's head, hit the fence. And it was a very long single because I wasn't sure where it went. I bolted for first, made my turn and looked, and the guy's still fumbling with it. But I, you know, split second hesitancy prevented me from getting a second. So it was a very loud, very long single.
All right, and Lee, I know you're newest to wrestling out of the group here today, but can you tell us background, what got you into baseball? Background, what got you into wrestling?
Oh, yeah, it's simple as this, man. Started when I was 12 years old. You know, my pops used to be on the – he used to have trials for the Cincinnati Reds, so his thing was just kind of pushing us to play sports, you know, most of our lives. So, you know, baseball was obviously the first love that we went towards. And thankfully, I was good enough to play all the way through high school, senior in high school. We took – second in state my junior and senior year in Washington for 4A. And then, you know, when I went to college, I actually didn't go to college for baseball. I went to college for football at Mississippi State. And, you know, I just kind of went from there. So that's where my baseball career ended, was in high school. But, you know, I always respect the game. It's hard. It's a lot harder than it is football or anything else I ever did. But, you know, I respect the game for what it was. So, and for wrestling, man, you know, I graduated college and, you know, I always grew up a wrestling fan. You know, number one person was John Cena. That's when I started watching it back in 2002. So I always followed that man's, you know, career and stuff like that. And when I graduated college, I told myself, you know, I might as well just shoot for, you know, my dreams before I settle down, you know, work a career job. So that's what brought me to, you know, doing wrestling. I was supposed to move to Houston, Texas to wrestle for Booker T School. Until I found out that, you know, my next door neighbor, Dean, Sexy Pants Paul Preston, was a professional wrestler. So he took me under his wings. You know, he showed me the ropes and everything like that. So now we're still in the building process of, you know, trying to get ahead and figure out how to get that next step to become a professional wrestler and make a big name for myself. That's all I got.
Out. Historically, going back to the early days of wrestling, there's been a lot of ties between baseball and wrestling. You saw guys mm-hmm. like Babe Ruth do guest referee spots in the 1940s. Baseball stadiums have been the site of a lot of historical wrestling cards, going back to Kaminsky Stadium in Chicago, where the NWA World title would change hands. You have some famous wrestlers like Randy Savage that had played professional baseball. Billy Martin, Tommy Lasorda, Bob Uecker were all part of the early WrestleManias. going down the line, can you tell us who you think or what you think the most interesting tie between baseball and wrestling has been when the two worlds did have an actual crossover? And we'll start with Chuck Coates.
First thing that came to my mind when you asked the question, and in the late 70s, being down south here in the Mid-Atlantic territory, the Durham Bulls would have the Jim Crockett Promotions come in about once every 2 months, and they would wrestle at the set the ring up at home plate at the old ballpark, which is a new park now. It was built about 20 years ago, but the old ballpark, where they film the movie, still stands. And actually, our local college, North Carolina Central University, uses it for their home field, and they play a lot of, we used to call it American Legion. Now the tribal teams use it and all that. But they bring it in, set the ring on home plate, and like you said, as far as the other ballparks throughout the country, that was, for me, pretty special, being outside. If it rained, they kept wrestling. If it usually had it the nighttime, it would be just a good experience all around. That's one of the reasons I got hooked on it. But they'd bring it in, and if you remember if you're familiar with Jim Crockett Promotions, the Black Jack Mulligan, Brute Bernard, Sergeant Slaughter, Roddy Piper, Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair, Greg Valentine, Jimmy Snuka, they would all come in and come out of the right field area where they had locker rooms at the time and wrestle. And for me, that was special. And as far as the most, I guess being a Pete Rose guy and a Cincinnati Reds fan since I was little, the Big Red Machine, I was alive during all that. And when he was involved with the WWF at the time, WWE now, but that was special to me. I wish they had picked something different for him to do. But that crossover there was a memory for me. I was a Pete Rose guy from day one, and I got to see the Big Red Machine, Johnny Bench, George Foster, Joe Morgan, all those guys, Eddie Concepcion, and that crossover for me, being a Reds fan, into the world of wrestling was, for me, pretty cool. Like I said, I'm biased because I love Pete Rose to the day. To this day, I still wish he was in the Hall of Fame. But for me, that crossover there in the ballpark in Durham where they filmed that world-famous movie, Bull Durham, it was just a special time to be able to go watch wrestling at night and see some of the guys. Like I mentioned, Jimmy Snuka and Roddy Piper and those guys, they were just getting going. And who, look at what happened in the future. They were, Snuka jumps off the cage and Piper has one of the greatest angles in the history of wrestling, I think, with Snuka. And then the rest is history, Flair, Valentine, all those guys. It's just, like I said, this is probably 77, 78, 79, and they were just getting going, and the rest is history. If you look back at their career, that was a good time for me in my life, being a young boy.
Coach Mike Jones, what about you? What do you think was the greatest crossover of wrestling and baseball?
Well, when I was a kid, my first favorite player was Fred Lynn from the Red Sox, and they had that great rivalry with the Big Red Machine. And, there you go with Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose being tombstoned by Kane. So he got screwed out of the Hall of Fame so far. And, of course, he got screwed over in wrestling because he got tombstoned. He should have never got tombstoned. And if I was there, I would have low-blowed Kane. And it would have never happened.
I would have loved to see that. Jimmy Flame, what about you? What do you think was the greatest crossover?
Greatest crossover? I'm going to go the route of both sports really, especially in the earlier days, really captured the American spirit. And I think that's what captivated really captivated all in wrestling. It's all about putting asses in the seats, right? Well, back in early baseball, that was the same thing. It's like, that's why you had barnstorming teams. That's why you had tours. That's why you had groups of players going around and selling their own tickets to games. you know, to promote whatever they were doing. You know, you had Babe Ruth barnstormers. Satchel Paige had a freaking team. You know, McGraw, the old coach of the New York Giants, had a team that he'd take around every year. And it's hilarious because he called them the Giants, but it wasn't even, like, consisting of Giants players. But that's neither here nor there. But both, you know, really captured, you know, and both kind of came from the same circuit. Like, everyone knows pro wrestling is rooted in, you know, the carnival circuit and things like that. You know, it's kind of where it really started taking off. And baseball, you know, in a lot of ways came from the same kind of setup, you know, especially with the old barnstorming tours and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, first thing that pops in my head is, you know, both are just, you know, great examples of what the American spirit is.
Lee, what about you? What do you think has been the greatest crossover between wrestling and baseball?
You know, I don't know too many, but one thing that does stick out to me when it comes to wrestling and baseball is Sting. Sting with the signature bat. Every time I look at that bat, you know, I think of baseball and stuff like that. Yeah, I know it's going to throw people off, but, I mean, it's the truth. Like, with baseball, you know, baseball, like dude before me said, it's all entertainment. You know, it's all putting asses in the seats and stuff like that. And, that, you know, that's what baseball teams did. Basically, the best players, typically players draw more than the team itself, I feel
right.
like. But, yep. you know, you got people like Sting. He was a big-time ball player for WWE, and he carried around that bat at the same time. You know, he's going to put asses in the seats no matter what. So Sting, to me, was my biggest crossover for baseball. I don't know if that's the correct answer, but that's how I look at it, man.
I think we'd be remiss not to at least mention Knuckleball Schwartz.
No, hey, don't mention
Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
Yeah.
Speaking of him, we have had a few baseball-related gimmicks that have popped up from time to time. You've had Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
Right.
You've had some umpires that have come in and guest refereed baseball, most notably at WrestleMania, I believe it was 10, and King Kong Bundy's match. They had a Major League umpire come in during the strike to guest ref it. We've seen Babe Ruth pop up. Who do you think has been the most successful, either just baseball-related gimmick wrestler or the best person that transitioned into a guest spot on a show as far as baseball player coming in? Chuck Coates, what about it?
Oh, man, let's see. They had, trying to think, no, that was hockey. Who was that guy that did the goon? Scott
Irwin.
Is that right? Yeah. I'm trying to think. Golly, they've done hockey. They've done the race car driver with Bob Holly. They've done this question's got me. I'm trying to think. By the way, that was a good thing with the bat. That's very, very good. This is kind of overlooked, but that was kind of cool. And I go back way before then. I go back to Sting with the face paint. And he's actually whooped my tail about five times, but that was a good one. I like that. The bat, man, that was cool. He saw the bat. It's like seeing, you know, hugging with a T-shirt tear, man. It was over. And anyway, back to your question. Golly. Baseball, wrestling, and you guys help me out here. He's got me stumped on this.
Hey, you mind if I take this over real quick?
You go for
go
it.
For
bro.
It.
Go for it.
So, in my opinion, and this, like I said, this might be, I don't know if this is the correct answer that y'all want to hear, but when it comes to, like, any, not even just baseball, but any sport, would be John Cena, in my opinion. Just because when you looked at him back in the early 2002s, he always wore these real nice, you know, baseball jerseys, hockey jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
He performed sports for that area. So I feel like with that, you know, whenever I saw that dude growing up, I didn't just think of wrestling. I saw other things, too, like the town that he was in, whether it was Chicago. He'd either be wearing a Bulls jersey or he'd wear, you know, a Cubs jersey out to the arenas and stuff like that, and that's what gets the crowd hyped. You know, that connection with that sports team, especially baseball, that's America's pastime. you see that connection with sports teams embedded on, like, the face of WWE at that time, man, mm-hmm. you have no choice but to go wild. You connect two things that you like so much. And, you know, he not only brings in people that, that you know, care for wrestling. Think about, you know, John Cena, just transition a little bit. Think about him. He always he drew in people that didn't know much about wrestling. He was just an entertainer. So the fact that he culminated all these different sports on top of wrestling itself, man, you can't ask for a better, you know, showman than that. So I feel like John Cena is probably the best person for that. Just because he invoked sports on top of wrestling at the same time. Like, he put it all together and made one big old collab. So, that'd be my answer to it.
Yeah, very interesting take. I can see that.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Billy Martin, though. Because I don't remember the exact year, but do you remember when Vince McMahon brought in Billy Martin when he went back to
WrestleMania 1, yes.
Yeah, it was like, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That kind of speaks a lot to Vince McMahon's genius as well, because he was capturing, you know, Billy Martin at the time was at his height of being like the guy that lost his mind. Like, he was in a dispute, like a very public dispute with George Steinbrenner. You know, he just left Oakland or whatever to come back to New York, and he was just on fire, like, in terms of you know, he was that guy. Like, he was kind of like an Earl Weaver, like you know. Everyone remembers Earl Weaver for being the guy who would come out and yell at the ump and all that good stuff and light the game on fire. Well, Billy Martin was that as well. And, you know, I thought bringing him on board for the wrestling event, like, just added to that. It definitely exasperated, like, what Billy Martin was already doing in the public eye. And then to have him associated with wrestling was like, well, yeah, it makes 100% sense, you know?
Absolutely, and we lost Coach. He had to step away, but my co-host Randy Zellers is with us, and I'm sure Randy's got some questions for you guys. So, Randy, go right ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's been a while since I talked to some of you guys and first meeting some of you guys. So, how you guys doing? Welcome to the show. I appreciate y'all showing up today.
I appreciate it.
Doing well, man.
Alrighty, so the question for all three of you guys is, what was the most entertaining game that you guys played in baseball? It doesn't matter if it was from Little League, middle school, one of the secret squirrel leagues that they have around your guys' area, or high school, or college. What was the best game that you guys played that all team members had to pull together, whether or not won or lost? Yep, anybody can.
I got you. I'll tell you. Right. It's kind of an embarrassed story. It's kind of like coming to age. I was a sophomore in high school, and we were, I think we were beating this team. We were beating them by like 4 runs, if I'm not mistaken. Bases were loaded. All we had to do, you know, I just got to catch a fly ball, and the game over. I don't know what happened. I think I just kind of, like, spazzed out for a second. I'm in the outfield. I'm running. And, like, instead of me running back, I ran forward, and then the ball just kept carrying because, you know, it was a windy day. So I tried to go back, and I was backpedaling. Instead of catching with my glove, I tried to catch it with my hand and completely missed. And the field that we were playing at didn't have a fence, so the ball just kept rolling. Kept rolling. Nonetheless, dude ended up scoring a grand slam off of me. So we get the third out, and basically it's my fault. Everybody looking at me like, dude, like you're finna cost us a game, this and that and the other, because the team we were playing was between us and them to be number one. This is like the championship game for junior. So I'm the first one up to the plate. And I completely just lean into the first pitch. Completely. I just take it. I'm like, you know what? I'll take it because I'm a great base runner. At this time, nobody, in my opinion, could really just get me out. So I take the pitch. I steal second. It was a pass ball. I steal third. And all they had to do, they just called for a bunt. Missed. We hit the bunt. I score the run home. We go home. But going into that moment, you know, it was kind of like, I don't know, I just felt so bad about, you know, messing up, almost costing our team the game just because, I don't know, I just, you make mistakes like that, you start beating yourself up over it. So after that moment, I started to realize more and more how teamwork, in my opinion, my version of teamwork was I utilized my strength, and that was getting on base no matter how I did it. And, you know, I leaned into a pitch. It didn't feel good, but I took one for the team, ended up scoring the winning run, and that was definitely the most memorable game ever just because we won the game. It was junior varsity, but even still, that championship was good for me and the rest of the team. But at the same time, you know, I felt like it was, you know, a good team effort that, you know, I put into. So it was a culmination of all three things. You know, I felt good. I felt bad. And, you know, hey, we got out there with a win. So that was
all
right. That's mine.
Oh, well, yep. That's good. Well, how about you, Jimmy?
I'll just, man, you got the wheels turning in my head because there's dozens, like maybe even like 100 games I could think of going all the way back from, you know, Little League to present. Like, I was going to – at first I was like, oh, I should just tell them about today's game, even though it was a losing effort. Like, we really started to gel today. We didn't get a preseason this year because of COVID-19. And the preseason games that were set up were all rained out. Well, we're in the D.C. area, you know what I mean? So when it rains here,
Ooh, yeah. It's
like actual – it is actual, like, buckets. Like, you don't play baseball and that stuff. So all that stuff got rained out. And literally the first time we all saw each other for the season was our first game. And it was, you know, it was definitely definitely a lot of work to be done. today's game, I could really see the potential of the team because everyone started – you know, finally started kind of playing together and not, you know, like, you know, outfielders are actually hitting their cutoff man and not trying to show off their arm and throw it at home and all that good stuff. But I'll tell you, the game I guess I'm most proud of that I always feel weird talking about anyway, just because it's such a crazy thing, and I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my own horn or anything, but when I was, 13 years old, I pitched a game, faced 18 batters and struck out 18 batters. And that's literally the whole game.
Oh, damn.
I hit the first guy in the ankle on accident. I was just like feeling it that day. And I came out firing and I hit the guy right square in the ankle. And I was like, oh man, I felt kind of bad. And then went on to strike out the next 18 batters. And that was it. And then they pulled me.
All right. Hey, well, thank you for answering. Thank you for answering that there, Mr. Jimmy Flame. So how about you, Chuck? Yeah. How about you, Chuck?
Like he said, the wheels are turning. It goes straight to high school for me. We were playing a crosstown rival. I'm in Durham, North Carolina, right outside of Raleigh. So it's Northern Durham versus Southern Durham, and they were the power. I'm just going to tell you, they were that was their bread and butter. We were football school. They were a baseball school. And a lot of my guys I played middle school with or junior high with, you know, we went to play together for 3 years, and then we went our separate ways. They went to Southern. I went to the Northern Durham. And anyway, long story short, we were playing for the conference championship, and it was best day I'd ever had as far as with a bat. I ended up beating 4-for-4, had 2 home runs and 5 RBIs. And so that wasn't the end, though. We were already we went up 9-3 on this powerhouse, you know, and they had their ace pitching. And actually, I take it back. They had another guy pitching. I guess they thought they could save him for the next weekend of the playoffs or whatever when it started. But they ended up putting him in early because they were down, you know, what, 5 runs. Came down to the end. We were up one run, and we're looking at the top of the. I think, golly, man, I think we played 9. Yeah, we played 9 innings back then. I'm old, man. I gotta remember. But top of the ninth, and that guy, first and third. We're up one run. Top of the ninth, first and third, with one out. No, with 2 outs. And I'm first baseman. So if you ever played first base, you know, if your third baseman and shortstop aren't any, you know, above average, you're going to play catcher, too, without the equipment. So, ball's first and third, 2 outs, plays it first, easy enough, right? He's hit down the third baseline. He's playing, not even with a bag. He scoops it up, and, of course, I go to cover. And after having a day of hitting like that, it was the best day of my life and all as far as baseball, and I'm feeling good. I'm thinking, we got it. You know, automatically, routine play to first. He scoops it up and starts to go home. First and third, right? The guy breaks for home, and it threw him off. He goes,
what?
Coach yells, yeah, Coach yells first. He, right in the middle of form going home, he throws it almost like a shortstop making that sideways throw to second to turn two. And here I am. The ball hits 10 feet in front of me. And, you know, that's not a short hop. That's like a you better block the ball. Even if you lose the run, you know, just block it. Well, anyway, it was my day, I guess. It hit about 10 feet in front of me, and I just thought to myself, I'm going to block it. Whether or not I catch it, I don't know because, you know, it cost us two runs instead of one. At least it'll be tied and we can go to the next, you know, go to the bottom of the ninth. But I got it. I caught it in my gut like a hockey goalie, and I held on. So that's the best day. Yeah. And like I said, that was a long time ago, 1985. I don't know how old you guys are, but, you know, we're talking
oh, man.
Over 30. And we were still
hey,
wearing
man.
Shirts.
Hey,
Isn't it crazy how fast you can think when you got a ball flying at you like that?
Hey, brother, if the coach wouldn't have yelled, he'd have went home. Now, he may have gotten out at home. I don't know. But it was one of those things where he was going home regardless, and coach yelled first, and he turned and made that throw side. Like I said, it looked like he was a magazine pitcher going to second, you know, with one of the short, the infield single. And so that was like the icing on the cake. I already had a great day, and, you know, name was in the paper and all that back then, you know.
And that was a big deal back in 1985. It was a big deal being in the paper.
Yeah, you're right, man. Mm-hmm. Newspaper had more than 10 pages back then. And I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. Ain't that
people
something?
Actually read them.
Yeah, people. Yeah, there was no YouTube. There was no none of that.
I mean,
I'll tell you this much. Hey, I wish there was some stuff that was from 1985. I wish I could have videotaped it, went traveled back in the time, put it on YouTube. Hey, you know.
I'd be happy with a Polaroid camera shot of that. I mean, you know,
right,
nothing.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly, and them cameras were the it thing. Now I can go through I went through a consignment shop. I saw one there, brand spanking new, for $500. I'm like, what?
Wow.
Yeah, and someone actually bought it too. When I went back in there, someone actually bought it. I didn't think no one made Polaroids anymore because that was since right there.
Now I need to go up my attic and find mine and sell it.
Yeah, no kidding, right? See if it works real quick. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But my second question for you guys, though, is let's see here. What was the main thing from baseball that you took, any skill that you took from baseball and converted it to wrestling?
You said which skill did we bring to wrestling from baseball?
Yeah. Yes.
Gotcha. For me, it was literally just the focus and just, you know, you listen with your ears and not your mouth. You know, like in baseball, when your manager or coach is coaching you up and telling you, you don't talk back. You just, yes, sir, and you do it.
Yep.
You know, that kind of discipline. So it was definitely the discipline that I learned by playing baseball that I took into professional wrestling. There really is no other answer for me. that's literally what I took to it.
All right. Anyone want to answer next?
I got one. I think, you know, baseball is a game of like losing, man. And, you know, that's one thing you just got to like, you know, take away is that you got to have that patience. You can't really just be mad all the time because wrestling, dude, you can mess up. Oh, it's really easy to mess up and stuff like that, but you just got to shake it off. Like I said, in baseball, it's a little bit more frustrating because practice, you take like 1,000 reps just to get 3 to 4 at-bats at most in a game. And if you don't make the most of it, you feel like time is wasted. Same thing with wrestling, dog. You practice so much just to get into the ring. And if you mess up one time, you just got to let it go. Because, you know, at the end of the day, another one. But, you know, with wrestling, I feel like it's a little bit more detrimental not to mess up than baseball. But at the same time, you just got to take that, like that man said, the discipline. You got to be, I take that patience. You got to get over the stuff, you know. Can't be mad all the time. So that was my biggest
thing. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, you right.
Yep. Dude, like the people, you gotta keep your emotions under control, because you're gonna have people, and I've noticed in my short tenure of wrestling, you know, you got a lot of people who, you know, run business the way they want to. You have to understand it. You know, you might not agree with it, but it's their show at the end of the day. You know, you just,
yep.
I say you do what they do, but, you know, you just do your part. And that's one thing, you know, I've learned, so.
That's right.
Yeah, you just got to take it away.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely the way it is, too. And, I mean, for one, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, it's their promotion or it's their baseball team. They're going to run it. Mm-hmm. They're going to run it regardless.
Exactly. You got to understand that, man. And it's your option either, you know, to be with them or just not be a part of it and not be with them. So at the end of the day, you have the option of, you know, to roll with them or not. So, but you got to understand that too.
Oh yeah. Just like what D40 quoted, everybody got choices.
Everybody got choices, dog. And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. How about you, Jimmy?
My input on this is kind of different, but when I came out of with the movie Bull Durham's film, I was an extra playing baseball for the visiting teams and all that. Okay, when I came out, my wrestling career started, you know, picking up. So I didn't have a kid. I was Chuck Coach and whatever. Well, my friends they gave me the name Hollywood because of, even though I was an extra, you know, Bull Durham, Hollywood Chuck. So my first ever character was Hollywood Chuck, and I would actually come out in my scene. Yeah, scene in the movie. If you watch the movie. During the beginning, Nuke's having problems getting control, and they're playing Happy Days, Rock Around the Clock. Well, they're showing different scenes, and he's throwing the ball everywhere. It's hit. He throws it up in the press box. He throws it. It goes behind the batter. It goes here. Well, in mine, I'm the last batter in that scene, and when he pitches the ball, it goes and hits the bull in the head, knocks him down. And so during the scene, when I get in the ring, they would they played music from the movie, and I would actually do my scene where I act like I was batting, and I would look behind me where the ball – it was just something – it was an inside joke because people – obviously, I wasn't the star of the movie, so people really didn't know unless you hate me. I was an extra in that movie or whatever. But if you're with me, I can show you the parts of the movie I'm in. So we would do that little skit. It was more for the boys because they would get a kick out of it knowing I was in the movie. But they gave me the name Hollywood. Before Hogan, believe it or not, everybody caught time. They would call me or talk to me and say, hey, man, he's copying your gimmick. It was kind of funny, you know. But Hollywood Chuck was actually – I got that name from – because I was in that movie, and so that was kind of neat. And then, you know, it was pretty good, pretty special.
Well, that's – hey, you know what? Being an extra in a movie, I mean, a lot of people will say that's easy, but it's not. And for you guys to get people who know people who can plug you into that, there is a hard process. I give you much props for being an extra because, hey, you know, if I was an extra in any kind of movie or TV show, hey, that's it for me. I'll be talking about that for the next 50 years.
Well, guess who pitched batting practice to us during the – you know, we come out, we actually had a warm-up. We actually – if they started filming that evening, we had to be there at 4 o'clock and actually have a small practice to get loosened up. And we're hitting BP, and guess who was pitching BP back then?
Who was that?
Remember Greg Little? Remember Red Sox coach Grady Little?
Yeah.
He was pitching BP. He was part of the Durham Bulls AAA affiliate and at the time, and which was well, they weren't the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate. I can't remember. It's different. Actually, it was the Braves. I guess it was the whoever the Braves affiliate was back then. And but he came in for the movie, and he was pitching, and got to hit
awesome.
Off of him. Pitching BP, yeah, man, it was cool. And later on when he became Red Sox, I'm like, hey, I know that guy, you know.
Yeah, right.
And, so, anyway.
Damn.
See, coming through Durham real quick. I'll shut up. But coming through Durham, I got to see Tripper Jones. I got to see Dave Justice. I got to see Steve Avery, Tom Glass. I mean, all these guys came through the Durham Bulls, and it was just looking back now and seeing where they ended up going, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Got to watch them in the little old town of Durham, you know.
Dang, that's – wow. Well, yeah. Well, I gotta say, now you pretty much just inspired me to go to watch Bull Durham.
Yeah, man.
To watch that movie. Oh man, because I mean, I heard it was really good and stuff like that, but I just hadn't had that much time watching movies these days.
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of the best baseball movies ever made. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had to film it. We filmed it. It was during the wintertime, and so they had to break. They had the grass was dormant at the ballpark, so they had to come in and paint it green to make it look like
right.
It was, you know. Sure did. They brought a crew in. They painted the whole field. I mean, it made it look like real grass. I mean, it was real grass. It made it look like it was, you know, summertime.
Summertime springtime. Grass, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Dang. When is that movie magic works?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. Let's see here. Hey Jimmy, did you answer my question already?
Which one? I think I've answered all of them.
Okay. In that case, if everyone answered my question, then my final question to all you guys is, between baseball and wrestling, there's talking smack. Is that a natural in baseball? I mean, I've heard bunches of stories, but if you guys can answer that, have you guys talked some trash on the baseball field? Maybe when the coaches ain't watching or listening to the other team.
I usually, even to this day, I chatter as a way to distract. So it's not really trash talking. I'm like, trust me, I'm like usually the loudest guy in the freaking field. I'm constantly chattering, yelling. Like sometimes I say stuff that doesn't make any sense. It's just, that's how I play ball. Like I gotta be loud. I gotta be talkative, you know?
Yep.
And it's not necessarily like, you know, I respect the players, you know, for one, it's not like I'm going to go out there and cut a wrestling promo on them. That would be ridiculous. If I come out and go, let me tell you something, batter. You know what I mean? It's like, that'd be the funniest thing ever. But, you know, so it's just not really talking trash, at least from my point of view. It's like, I'm literally there to do what I can to disrupt and then make the play if the ball comes my way.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, because, I mean, and for being kicked out of games or anything like that or – yeah, have you guys had any encounters of maybe a pitcher went and threw the ball, I mean, pitched the ball and hit one of your players so bad that your players just get mad and start running out, like running after the pitcher?
No, I ain't had that happen before, bro.
I've had some benches like come out on the field, but it never came to like any crazy brawls or anything. But I will tell you, it's funny you say that because today I got beamed. And it was hilarious because the pro wrestler in me came out. Like, when I got beat, I sold it. I dropped. And then the umpire was like, you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man. And then I kind of slowly got up. And then I looked at the pitcher, and I started walking towards him like I was going to fight him. Then I stopped, and we all started laughing. And then, of course, after the inning was over, my you know, our coach took me to the side and was like, dude, that was funny, but don't ever do that shit again. And I was like, no problem. But I had everybody laughing. It was really funny. The pro wrestler still comes out of me once in a while for stuff like that, I guess.
Yep. Yeah.
Sell it a bean ball. Who else does that?
that brings up a good point from an earlier question. You guys will all agree, I'm sure, baseball and wrestling, have you got great reflexes or what? I mean, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my reflex is at 53. I took some falls in the past year. I tripped the other day and fell. You automatically take the bump. I mean, it's just a natural thing. And it seems like the flatter you fall, and see us sliding in baseball, taking a bump in wrestling. It just seems like you might bump an elbow and a wrist, but you're really not going to break anything. Now, I'm not saying it won't happen as you get older, but the other day, there's no reason why I should have got up. And I got up. My wife was like, "You okay?" I said, "I'm okay. I scrapped my elbow a little bit." But it's just an instinct. My reflexes are amazing. And it's like
exactly.
I give it to baseball and wrestling. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's like, I mean, it's not a natural thing to look for a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, like, coming right by your chin. I mean, I can pick them up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's an all reflex.
Right. Yeah.
Dang.
Right. I had a catcher.
And when they say, I'll tell you straight up, like, when they say, like, you spin 93 to 95, you see a streak, anything above 95, you just got to guess.
Talking about trash talking, I had a high school catcher. I played junior high with him, same group that came out of middle school together, and we ended up playing against each other in high school. And he decided to talk a little trash at bat. Well, he went, the umpire let it go for like two or three pitches, and finally he said, "That's enough." And he gets up, and he says, "I can't say anything." He says, "No." He said, "Well, I know this guy." And he's trying to, you know, it's almost like, "Well, it's Chuck. I know him. I can talk, you know, whatever." But referee, I first said, "No more." But he was like, "Oh, you watch your curveball, Chuck. He's coming in. He'll come in on you. Watch it." And it'd be a fastball. But, I mean, he wouldn't let it go. But I've had it done to me throughout my life, you know, but I haven't really – I was kind of quiet. I tried to let my performance speak for itself if I could, you know. But, I played ball and tried to let my talking do in my performance. But, yeah, it's been some times where I got run over. I've got run over at first once, and the guy told me, said something smart, and I was completely – he just ran over me. He got thrown out, and he kept running and plowed. He got thrown out of the game for that. But still, I was like, dang, what did I do to that guy? I'm covering the first base. He said, get out of the way next time. I said, well, just baseball. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying there's times when I thought, dude – I told you about earlier, he needs to learn how to throw the ball first before you talk junk. But anyway,
guys, our other co-host QT is standing by, and QT's got a question or two. Well, QT, why don't you take it away?
Well, thank you, Snide Guy. Mr. Coates, a seminal moment in Seinfeld history is when they had on Keith Hernandez. Newman and Kramer were sworn enemies of Keith Hernandez because of the spitting incident. My question is, did you ever have fans that hated you as much as Newman and Kramer hated Keith Hernandez?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. We went overseas in a wrestling, we did a military tour, USO tour, to Kuwait, to Japan, Saudi Arabia, back in 1999. And guess who got to be the Russian assassin? Me. So,
man.
I wrestled, remember the Fantastics? Jackie Fulton actually would do the Patriot, the Eagle, he called himself. He would be the American hero. Here comes the Russian with the sickle, the hammer. And I was on a Marine base, and cussed and yelled, yeah. And, I had to get in the guy's face. He told me he sent my commie, you know what, back to Russia if I didn't calm down and shut up about the United States. And he was taking this stuff so serious, which I guess that means I was doing a good job. But I told him, I said, dude, I live in North Carolina, and I'm not a Russian, okay? I got right in his face and said that. I said, just enjoy the show, man. But he took it serious. But I've been hated on a lot of times with that red and yellow, man. That was a good, easy heat, you know. But I must admit, I could probably – I did the Russian. I could do the voice and all, so it kind of made it more effective. And that's the most I've ever been hated in the wrestling ring was doing the communist Russian, and especially when you do the military bases because they like to really get involved and get, you know. Yeah, I'm thinking to myself now: can a Russian assassin really get on base here? Come on, guys. But
no,
exactly.
Well, I was
suspension of disbelief.
Yeah. So during that time, that was fun time for me. But there was times when people actually would want to take care of me. I mean, you know, I felt like it anyway. Thank God for the guardrail and the referee. But I've been hating pretty bad. Not as myself, but when I put that red hood on, it was on then.
Wow. All right. Did you ever date a lady as pretty as Elaine Benes?
Yeah, my wife. I'm married to her now.
Oh, okay.
Great, dude. That is a perfect answer. I was waiting for that answer. That is
now
the perfect answer.
No, okay. Well, Mr. Flame,
he's listening to the show
another...
too.
Oh, okay. Yes. Mr. Flame, another seminal moment in Seinfeld history happened when George Steinbrenner stopped by the house of Mr. and Mrs. Costanza to tell them he thought their son George was dead. And after a moment of silence, Frank Costanza asked Mr. Steinbrenner, "Why in the world did you trade Jay Buhner for Phelps from the Mariners?" My question is, did you experience a trade in wrestling like this, where you were traded for like Michael Phelps or George Phelps?
No, because usually when I, you know, hopped promotions, it was not a big deal. I was just a worker, so no blockbuster trades in the Jimmy Flame world. That's for sure.
Okay. How about Mr. Lee? Did you ever get traded for a Jay Buhner?
I'm going to be real, though. I've never seen Seinfeld, so.
Oh. Okay, well, that's your homework assignment. Look up the George Steinbrenner on Seinfeld. Yes.
Steinbrenner, yeah. I am never seen him.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Flame, Jose Canseco once blew off several fingers while cleaning his gun, and he once assisted an opposing player to hit a home run by having a fly ball bounce off his head.
Mm-hmm.
What WWE superstar most reminds you of Jose Canseco? Would it be George the Animal Steel?
Would it be George the Animal? I would say... Man, I think Jose Canseco might be a little bit smarter than George the Animal Steel. So I'm going to go, oh, man. Jose Canseco, I would go with Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh. Wow, very good choice. How about
Not necessarily in personality, but in the fact that they just kind of got by on, like, brute strength. And, yeah, they made some silly decisions. Some silly things happened to them, so...
Whoa.
I mean, Hacksaw Jim Duggan picked a fight with Andre the Giant, which is not a very smart thing to do. So,
no.
I was going to say Big Bully Busick, the guy with the handlebar mustache.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. He might have made a hell of a baseball player back in the 1910s.
Yes, or the 1890s for the Boston Bean Eaters. Yes.
Yeah. The Boston Bean Eaters. Oh, okay. I love that.
All right.
Who was it that hit the ring that time? Titus O'Neil when he took the head first slide under the ring?
Oh, yeah. Pete Rose slide right into the ring.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to turn it back over to Sun Guys.
All right. Well, gentlemen, we're down to the end of the show today, but I want to thank all of you for taking time out of your day to be with us. We enjoyed having you here, and we enjoyed talking baseball as it relates to pro wrestling. But if you guys have anything you want to say or plug or promote anything at all, Chuck Coates, you got anything?
I don't. I just appreciate the time you guys took, and good to meet you through this situation here. And who's our youngest member here? The rest, the young man who played for Michigan State.
Mississippi State. Yeah, my name's Lee.
I wish you the best, man. Good luck with your career, and we're looking for you in the near future on TV.
Hey, appreciate it, dog. You'll see me one day. Hopefully. All hopefully right. You'll see me.
Jimmy Flame, you got anything you want to say, plug, promote?
You know I do, brother.
Go for it.
Give me, you know, yeah, I'm on Twitter at JimmyFlame77. That's JimmyFlame77 on Twitter. Of course, you can find me on Facebook. Just look up Jimmy Flame. You can also Google my name, Jimmy Flame. Yeah, yeah. I got, you know, YouTube channel, just youtube.com/JimmyFlame. And I also run a website that I do research on, like, baseball history and baseball players and et cetera and stuff like that. It's called thinkslinger.org. That's thinkslinger.org. And then I also host a podcast called The Stick, like a baseball bat. The Stick, that's also kind of baseball related. Sometimes I throw some wrestling stuff in there. But, yeah, you can look up The Stick on, like, Apple Podcasts and wherever, you know, people get their podcast service from. And then I also produce a podcast called Lunch with Legends. It's hosted by a fabulous personality. His name's Lou Stowers. He works for the Los Angeles Angels. And the show is really cool because he literally just goes around and talks to baseball legends, records the conversation, sends me the file, I put it into a nice, I package it into a nice show, send it back, and then boom. It's fun stuff. And
that all
thank
sounds
you for
amazing,
me
and don't forget you also play semi-pro ball.
Yes, I play semi-pro baseball still.
There you go.
Lee, what
right
about
now,
you guys?
Right
anything
now.
You want to say, plug, or promote?
I was just going to say,
hey, go ahead.
I'd be remiss not to plug the freaking baseball team I'm playing for. They're called the Clifton Lumberjacks. So, Clifton Lumberjacks, that's what I'm playing for right now.
There we go, Lumberjacks. Keeping the PNW connection, I see.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Lee, go for it.
Yeah, man. I ain't got much time. I'm just, you know, thankful to be part of the podcast, man. I appreciate you for letting me have you for having me, you know, on it. So the only thing I got to say is, you know, you can go follow me on Instagram, @KAMA_DA_great. And, you know, if anybody needs any help trying to get in shape and stuff like that, you know, I'm a personal trainer on the side. And you know, I'm just here to help out people. But at the same time, trying to, you know, make the most of my own life. So if you have any inspirations, go ahead and hit me up, give me a follow, and you know, I'm all ears.
All right, well, thank you guys for being on today. We appreciate it greatly. Fans, we'll be back with you next week. Next Friday, it's the return of the legendary Larry D to the show. And 1 week from today, it's our tribute to Moonshine. We're going to have some wrestlers on that have connections to a bit of the bubbly and a bit of the moonshine. That should be a fun time. So join us for that, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks for having me.